Fan Morning Show. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Friday. It's Friday. We're throwing back songs from the trip to Florida.
No.
Well, that one. There's a lot of Kodak when we were in Florida.
I was going to say, get ready for some Pitbull. But
no.
Kodak 6 Lakh.
Mr. Worldwide.
I've never been able to get with the Pitbull thing.
No, I can't.
No, it's the first thing I think of when you say Miami.
I just want to say caveat to the list today. Vic ruined all my songs because he wouldn't let me play anything with swears. And he came in this morning all crying, boo-hoo. He was like, oh, you pick songs. They're dirty. Hey, what? He actually said to me that one song was, quote, suggestive. And so Vic is canceled. I'm sorry. I just ruined my Oxcord. And you know how I throw my Oxcord together, Vic, is like I literally sent it to you in what? A minute after you asked? I rip it. I go like I rip it a rhyme. I sent it to you fast. And you did it. Now you tell me at this time, hours later, I could have switched it up.
It's one song.
I could have made some alterations, and yet here you are ruining my Oxcord. Thanks a lot. No, it's Friday. It's the Fan Morning Show. Blake Murphy is here, and Ailish Forfar was at the game last night.
Mm-hmm. Raptors are on a one-game winning streak, thanks to me.
I was going
to
say, your seats were horrible.
Oh, just awful.
They were really
straight at half court. I think it was row 14. Real nice.
Yeah.
My friend spoiled me.
Yeah, your friend did spoil you. I really want to be friends with this friend. I was going to ask you, actually, the first question in the show, before we ask you about the actual game and being there. Mm-hmm. Is she aware of the amount we've talked about her on the show?
It's funny. I mentioned it yesterday. Yeah. And she was part of that friend group that listened quite religiously during the first week and would text in, oh, we can hear you.
Oh, and then they bailed on you.
And then crickets.
Wow. That's how it is. That's how it is.
And she goes, did you talk about us going to the game on the radio? I'm like, only all week. Where have you been? She's like, oh, I was really busy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Too busy to put on the sound in the background?
Busy sleeping.
Yeah. Mm, okay. No, it is what it is. Like I said, they out front, when the shine is on, everybody wants to jump on.
Listen, friend.
Yeah.
If things get serious with singer-songwriter, I'll stream his stuff silently in the background to get his Spotify numbers up. Wouldn't be the first friend I've done that for.
So I saw your seats, and I got to tell you, now 4 of my Oxcord songs are my own things, and they're all love songs for her.
I'll tell her to tune in.
I was going
to
say so. If she could listen between 7:30 and the end of the show, that would be really cool for me. So you go to the game last night, and I'll tell you this. I have one gripe with you, too, which is more Instagram stories. I know you're enjoying yourself and you're enjoying your life. I just wanted three more. You know?
I went live at the end of the game on Instagram.
Oh, I didn't see the end. Well,
it was awesome. I go live with 3 seconds left just to, hopefully get that win.
Yeah.
And instantly there's 100 people watching and all the comments were bing, bong, bing, bong, yes. Bing, bong, bing, bong. And my friend's like, what are they commenting? And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. And then I tried to give her a quick rundown. She's just like, I don't really, is that your thing now? And I'm like, that's my thing.
This deep, where do you even start?
No, right? I tried to run it down.
In the loop on it.
I was like, the Knicks are doing this thing and it's a bing bong and then there's bing bonga. But she did come to the 905 game with me when mm-hmm. I got that video of Bonga getting the three and then I did the bing bonga. So as soon as he got in the game last night, I'm all over zooming in like a happy fan, bing bonga, bing bonga, and I'm the only one that's acknowledged that he's entered the court.
Nobody else knew who he even was.
No, but there's a minute and a half left in the third quarter, and he gets the sub in, and I'm like, yeah, bing bonga, and I'm standing up, pumped about him, and people are just like, what's this girl's problem?
Yeah,
so much so that somebody in the row behind me was like, is that your boyfriend or something?
Yeah.
About Bonga.
Are you just going to start saying that?
And I was like, oh, no, I'm just a big fan. And I didn't know how to explain it without sounding like such a moron. But I was like, no, he's not my boyfriend. And I should have just said yeah. Oh, I got all nervous.
You should have leaned. Yeah,
no, everyone thinks he's your boyfriend.
Yeah, I got so nervous in the moment because I was like, oh, my God, I don't want to be unprofessional. What if they know who I am? And then they think I'm dating him. And
I
got really nervous that these people, I don't know. So I said I wasn't dating Isaac Bonga. But then 5 minutes later, I'm like, I should have said yes. Like, they'd probably be taking photos of me. I probably would have got down to the court.
Lean in. She sack bonga.
She sack bonga.
So, who did that? Was that a thing that you were yelling about you?
No, Blake wrote that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a
like
clever.
Like, my girlfriend name I was dating
when
bonga.
When she tweeted that someone asked if she was dating bonga, I just thought it was a funny pun.
I gotta get alerts for your guys' social media stuff.
Oh, God, no, you don't.
Why not?
Although last night it would have helped for gambling because I was on top of that Giannis thing before anyone noticed. I have, we'll come back to the Giannis thing.
Yeah,
let's finish the game.
No, but that's part of the game, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm watching, I'm waiting for the game to start, and the Giannis thing came late, like rudely late.
Yeah.
Rudely
late. You know how I found out about that?
Yeah, I don't know exactly, but you sent me some weird screenshot that I didn't even understand and that you had to explain to me what was happening here. Because everybody said DNP.
So no Bucks people tweeted out. The Bucks team itself didn't tweet it out.
Mm-hmm.
But a little before the game, about half an hour before the game, I have access to an NBA stats site that like the broadcast uses.
Okay.
And they list the starters in there because 30 minutes before tip off, a box score goes up. Yep. And that's the screenshot I sent you. And it says DNP because everyone didn't play. But the starters are accurate. And Giannis wasn't listed with the starters.
Yeah, it was stupid.
And then I'm like, okay, well, like, so that what that means then is he's active. Like, he technically could play, but obviously you're not bringing Giannis off the bench for no reason. So I tweeted that out and I messaged it to you and Vic, hoping you guys would be able to pull your bets in time.
Yeah.
Because again, we discussed it yesterday. That was a really short line if Giannis played.
Yeah. I thought that the line was appropriate even with him out, that the Bucks would be favored given the winning streak and given the team. But I will admit that Bucks team is, they're, you know, light. They got a lot of guys where they were playing the Raptors and I went, Raps are a better team than them. And Middleton did his thing, and then Drew Holiday did his thing, but everybody else on that team is like pretty unimpressive. And I know they're missing guys with injury, but whatever. So clearly you didn't pay at all for anything. So, you know,
that's right. I did get a ride there with them. I did get the tickets for free. Yeah. I got a bag of popcorn and one adult beverage.
See?
That's it.
That was the other part of if you had just lied about being... Bonga's girlfriend is that you could have just like, you could have, ma'am, would you like to come to the players lounge and have some free beverages, Miss Bonga?
I would like to. Yeah.
I don't want to kill the bit, but like Ms. the people Bonga. Who work there would know where the girlfriends are sitting.
Yeah.
There's a section.
Yeah. My Ailish was like, I don't want to sit there.
I want to sit my friend. Chick.
Yeah, exactly. She was going in there to do drama.
You don't do that at home games.
Okay. All right.
That's your gambling rules. I'm telling you. No home games for that.
Okay, but Giannis is one of the players in the league that you want to go see. And how did you feel when you found out? Because like I'm imagining that you didn't even find out till you were there.
No, yeah, I was actually in line just getting our tickets scanned and stuff, and I saw Blake's tweet and I was like, oh no. And I told my friend Sarah and her dad.
Oh, so you were the one who told like everyone in the stadium, you were like, listen up, everybody.
No, we're actually in line.
They lied to us.
It's funny. We're in line and I tell her, but I'm like speaking loud enough that people can hear me. I'm like, oh, by the way, it looks like Giannis isn't in. And I'm like sounding like an insider.
Yeah.
And like a couple people were like, what?
I'm down for that move.
Yeah. I tried to be like, guys, I just got explicit information. Yeah. Tune in.
Explicit information.
It's breaking news.
Yo,
I tried to be like,
Bonga's girlfriend is about to get explicit.
Yeah, Bonga's girlfriend. She knows. But I found out right when we were entering the arena. And then I was like on hyper alert of how many fans were wearing Giannis jerseys.
Yeah.
Oh, I really did feel bad. Like for me, you know, I obviously wanted the Raptors to win. Like I was desperate for that. I wanted to see Giannis play. That's why you go to games like that too. Like I felt like I saw a lot of kids with Giannis jerseys, a lot of families that probably like spent big money to come see the Raptors. It was, you're either wearing a Raptors jersey or a Giannis jersey, and that was it. And it was quite split. It was, you know, and especially being close enough to the court, if you're paying good money to see those stars, you could see a lot of people had come for Giannis, and there's like the Greek flags and, but there's one hilarious moment where, so we could see Giannis on the bench and his brother is like lined up to get called into the game. Uh-huh. And they both have just their last name on the jersey without like an initial.
Yeah.
Which in hockey, like I'm used to hockey where it's like, you know,
this one, they don't need one.
Yeah.
You know,
where there's like R and then Murphy. And then, so, you know, okay, like that's the brother. And so many people get their phone out and they're like filming, like he's, oh, Giannis is in. And I'm like, that doesn't look like Giannis. Like, I haven't even had a drink yet, but like, that guy's not Giannis.
That's tough.
And the numbers are the opposite numbers, 34 and 43. And so people are like getting pumped that Giannis is getting in the game. And then I'm like, oh, like that's his brother. And then they announce his brother's like, what?
Thanasis.
Uh-huh. But they say it quite enough. Thanasis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, they do that second part really loud.
Yeah. And people were like, Antetokounmpo! And I'm like, oh, no. And even my friend, she didn't know that his brother played on the team. And I was like, that's not him. She said, no, it's him. Like, that's his last name. I'm like, that's his brother.
Missed opportunity last night for the Raptors to. So their other brother plays for Raptors 905.
That's what I tried to explain to her too.
Should have called them up for the game and just messed with them.
Anyway, that I felt bad for the fans, and then the little tidbit of the brother made me laugh.
Yeah, and it's the only time that they're here this year.
Mm. So that I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. What I do know is that Toronto has one of the biggest Greek populations in all of North America. Mm-hmm. I messaged a Greek friend of mine who went to the game yesterday to watch Giannis specifically, like. Wore the freak get up and she
I think I saw this person. Does she have a flag?
I don't know.
Okay.
She wears Raptors stuff with Giannis stuff. Hmm. She's a Raptors fan, but she's Greek. She's Greek, loves Giannis.
Yeah. She went to this game. 100,000 in the GTA.
Right. Estimated. She told me that there's more Greek people in North America, in Toronto, than anywhere other than maybe Chicago. Said more than New York, more than LA, because those are my guesses. Because I was actually trying to needle her a little and be like, hey, Giannis is a coward. Like, he didn't show up for the Greeks. But then she was actually like, mad. Yeah, he didn't show up for the Greeks. So that many people, this kind of community, Giannis knows this game on the schedule. I'm sorry. This one is worse. Like, I actually think this is lame that he did this. I think the NBA resting policy is lame anyway. But I had never heard this before, Blake. But you have an interesting idea to combat this at least a little.
Yeah, so... I mean, part of this is, and this is why, like, yesterday we're talking about the line around the game. And I know there are some people who don't care about the line and don't care about gambling, but, like, there's information within that. And there's, like, obviously the bookmakers knew that something was happening.
You started this narrative on the air yesterday. You're like, it's too close. It's moving. Someone must not be playing.
Exactly. So one thing that leagues are going to be asking for from these betting companies as betting rolls out and expands is what's called integrity fees. And basically, I don't know where the numbers are going to land, but at one point the NBA asked, and like they partner with these companies for stats and like, hey, you can use our stats stuff. But there's also going to be an element of, hey, we need to get some revenue from this to combat the potential for a Tim Donaghy situation or whatever. And those are called integrity fees. And basically the league's like, give us a taste so that we can put the measures in place to make sure everything's above board.
That's not fair.
And one of the things that I think those places are going to ask for from the leagues, but especially, I mean, the NFL's better for this because so much of the NFL already orbits around gambling and fantasy. Mm-hmm. But the NBA is not great for it, and they've gotten worse this year, and the NHL is awful for it, is this, like, mystery injury stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, in a situation like this, if you mystery rest the guy... And, like, to the extent that, like, your social and PR accounts don't even announce it, like, I have to find it looking at the broadcast site just because, like, again, I'm still curious and I'm waiting for and the line moved significantly. Mm-hmm. Like, the Raptors were favorites by the time the ball went up. So I do think that, like, there's going to be negotiations between leagues and these companies about integrity fees. And that's going to be one of the concessions that leagues have to make is – you got to be more upfront about this. And if a guy's questionable, that's got to be an actual 50-50 thing. And if he's out and you know well ahead of time on a back-to-back that he's going to be out, you say he's out.
See, I want to see an integrity fee for the fan. Like, I want Ailish's friend last night to be compensated in some way. Because it's bull. Calf. Giannis has a calf injury? Bull. This is so stupid.
He did his full pregame warm-up.
Of course. He was totally fine. They sat him, and I like, honestly, I know the guy cares. I just can't imagine him sitting in that arena, seeing all the Greek flags, all the people in Giannis uniforms, and he has to sit there as he's making his, like, hundreds of millions of dollars and sitting there going, well, you know, I got my calf here is a little, so we got to do a preventative thing. It's so stupid. I know the NBA, we've done this discussion for years now, the whole, like, hey, Should you be able to rest and should you not be able to rest? This was the first time. And sometimes it does take something to hit home for you for it to like actually change mm-hmm. the way you feel about something. Because I usually have been a little bit like, hey, it's 82 games. When it's Kawhi, we had this whole thing with like resting him here and making sure that there was load management. So it feels a little hypocritical, but the Giannis thing really stunk last night. Like, it stuck in my craw, and I couldn't let it go.
Oh,
like,
my God. It's been a long
back.
Time.
The craw was back.
It's stuck in your
see,
craw.
See, that's what I mean. Nothing's stuck in there for a while.
It's been smooth,
been
unobstructed crawling.
Oh, that's and then for Giannis our first week listeners, if you remember stuck Day in your one. Craw.
But I don't know what you're supposed to do because, like, okay, that integrity fee makes sense to me. And then I thought about trying to apply the integrity fee to fans, but it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to start, like, trying to figure out how to e-transfer people.
You
in
get them
30
a 10% discount off your next ticket or something. Yeah.
You know what, though? That's not bad. Honestly,
we're like a free concession item.
But the issue you're going to run into, though,
the
is like...
The poor place that owns the concessions, yeah. though, where they're like, what?
The thing you're even going to run into with that, though, is like, okay, well, that hurts the Raptors, and this was a Bucks decision. So, like, true. What do you do? So, it's a tough one to navigate.
The Bucks pay the 10% of the, like, the... total fee or whatever the, I don't know.
And
that's
so
hard.
It's
they
tough,
give away free pizzas.
It's a tough one to navigate because
the Bucks
like
do. Yeah. Yeah. Except for here's the thing. You show up in your Giannis jersey and you're like, I can have pizza any night better than this. And so having the free slice of garbage pizza versus what I could have just ordered on the way home after I watched one of the greatest players in NBA history dunk all over everybody. It doesn't really give me the satisfaction that I was hoping for. It's just an ugly, ugly situation.
And it's a tough one because like, obviously, like, I'm in favor of taking the 82-game approach with player health and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And Giannis plays for a team where the regular season doesn't matter. And it's in the league's best interest and clearly his and the team's best interest to do whatever you can to make sure he's ready for the playoffs and in good form. So him sitting the second night of a back-to-back after playing 38 minutes the night before doesn't really bother me. Mm-hmm. It's the
secret
it's cloak and dagger stuff like of like...
But people buy those tickets months in advance.
I know, and it's tough.
And what, you're going to ask the average fan to be like, make sure you check to see if it's a back-to-back.
No, but, like, but also,
get
like,
out of here.
There's some element of self-interest for the Bucks where, like, you can't play a guy 38 minutes, 82 minutes a night unless he's – or 82 games a year unless he's Fred VanVleet.
I don't know. I think that stuff's way too overblown now. And I also think that it's so ridiculous that Drew Holiday, someone who's actually dealt with injuries his entire career, mm-hmm. like didn't come to that basketball game last night. Mm-hmm. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, literally a Greek god who doesn't get injured, even to the point where last year in the playoffs, we thought he just destroyed his lower body. We thought, oh my God, this guy is done. He's got that LeBron thing where, knock on wood, but he doesn't seem to be able to get hurt at his young age. He's got that like pliability where even when he does roll an ankle, you're like, oh my God, if that's Derrick Rose, it's three surgeries. And if it's Giannis Antetokounmpo or LeBron, younger LeBron, it's an absolute nothing.
Tell you this, if you're the Bucks and you come to a city with a large Greek community and you don't play Giannis, you
should
have to play Georgios, the 60th overall pick who has no business being in the NBA, but is like the last guy on their bench, and he's Greek. I know Thanasis played.
No,
but
nobody cares about Thanasis.
You should have to play.
People thought it was him. They cared for a little bit.
You should have to play the bad Greek player if you're not playing Giannis. At least then the home crowd gets to watch, oh yeah, Bing Bonga going at it against Bonga. Georgios. And
you should have to buy all of the people in attendance Spanakopita.
Yeah, something. Honest to God. And did Giannis even say anything?
No, not that I saw.
No, because if you sit out, you don't have to do media.
He was just like huddled beside the coaches in a hoodie, and I was like trying to see what he was doing, but he was just chilling.
Hey,
just
looked cozy.
Giannis used to be the baby face of this league, and now in Toronto?
Villain.
You can screw, all right? How about that? Now for the actual game.
Good game.
Did he not want to play because he was afraid of Fred VanVleet, the actual best player in this game? I'm just going to set it up like this. I love point guard play. It's my favorite thing in the league. It's my favorite position, and it's my favorite thing to watch, like, high-level point guards play at their very best. Drew Holiday versus Fred VanVleet, two guys who I view as, like, they're not necessarily, like, really all that underrated. I know that's a way of us framing things, but the actual league itself knows both those guys are very... Drew Holiday was just on Team USA. But I would say from a, like, marketing standpoint, they are overlooked because of who they are. To see those two guys basically justify my, like, they are both top five on my list of point guards of guys I would want in a must-win game. And watching the two of them battle, and I thought play with a lot of pride against one another. Like, they almost seem like they're fighting for the same corner of, I'm the best defensive point guard who's really tough that you would want in a playoff game. That weirdly, like, there are all these people who would say, I'd rather have Trae Young or Damian Lillard. I'm just saying, these are crazy names that I'm throwing up there. But
like, there was, and I think there's something to them being into it. So there's, I think it was early in the fourth, Fred picks up a foul on the floor because he's picked Drew up full court or three-quarter court at least, and Drew gets across half, and Fred just, like, is giving no quarter, right? Like, he's right in the jersey, and he's not reaching or anything, but he's just like, I'm willing to take a foul to keep you uncomfortable and let you know that the second you get the ball in the backcourt,
Could you feel it?
I'm coming.
Yeah, the best moment for me was, it started to get a bit tight down the stretch there, and I don't know what it was, Fred hit a three or Fred...
He hit a lot of threes.
Yeah. There was some moment where he stood up after he got knocked down. I just forget how the sequence began. Regardless, he stands up and he puts his arms up to the fans, and he starts like waving his arms like, let's hear some noise. And everyone just went crazy for Fred. And he was like the heartbeat of that arena. He got the fans going, and he took that moment, like that leadership to say like, hey, we need some noise. Like, look at me go. Like, it was definitely after he hit a three, now that I think of it.
I thought it was after the, like, weirdo layup he hit.
Oh, yeah, something like that.
He borderline travels, and then he lets it go at, like, this bizarro angle.
Yeah, some moment that the fans were like, ooh, and then he takes the moment to be like, let's hear it. Like, give me some love. And everyone loves Fred, but every time he hit a three, it was like, wow, another one!
He's the face. He's the identity of the team.
It was awesome.
He came in and had a 7-0 run. The game was teetering. It almost looked like the Bucks were just about to be like, hey, you had this lead the entire game.
And now we're going to win.
And now we're going to take this from you because we actually are the defending champs and you didn't make the playoffs last
year. Oh, I felt that
year.
A little bit of nerves,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. And then they get a timeout. Raps are up 2. Fred VanVleet comes in. 7-0 run. I think it was a 7-0 run, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just all Fred. And I went, I feel so bad doing this. I really do, because this isn't about that. But this whole conversation about who's the man is going to be looked back on as one of the most hilarious things that's ever happened in the history of the franchise. Like, Fred VanVleet is the man. He is the franchise. He's the face of the franchise. He's the identity of the franchise. He's a direct successor of the guy who is the face of who is still to this day the greatest Raptor of all time and the face of the franchise. Like, when you think Raptors, you think Kyle Lowry. When you think Kyle Lowry, you think Raptors. That's the way I feel like it's going to be with Fred VanVleet come the end of his career, except for he's not going to have played for any other team. He's all of it. And, like, I know Siakam had 20 points in that game. I didn't even notice that he played outside of his fouls, really, and some scoring early in the basketball game. I never wanted Siakam to have the ball unless it was against Pat Connaughton on the block. I wanted Fred VanVleet to have the ball. Mm-hmm. And there's that quote we have from Fred at the beginning of the season where he takes to the podium and explains what the man is, where he's like, we got to do a better job of setting him up and making sure that he's the man and blah, 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 blah. And you watch that game and you're like, hey, man, just you do whatever you think is best, but not that, you know?
So VanVleet finishes with 29 points. The Raptors win his minutes by 9. Again, he plays 39 minutes. Yeah. So two things here from Fred's post-game press conference. First of all, just straight up confirmed, yes, what we were seeing with him and Drew, absolutely, he was feeling it.
What did he say?
He said, it definitely got me going.
Both of them had it, though, Blake.
Like, I got a foul or something late, and I was talking to the ref, and Drew chimed in, and it was on from there.
Yeah.
He's one of the best in the league at both ends of the floor and somebody I have a lot of respect and admiration for. He made it tough on me tonight. I'm happy we were able to come out with a win.
Same corner, same guy.
Exactly.
Just one is small.
And in terms of the pumping the crowd up, that's like, Fred is, like, we talk about Marner sometimes, like the heartbeat, right? And that was always the Kyle Lowry thing. Is like, Kyle Lowry is the foundation on which everything is built. And Fred has that, but Fred, you don't normally see, like, it stands out when Fred's calling the crowd to pump up, or, you know, in the Warrior series when he has that famous yell with the blood on his eye and stuff. So that's fairly rare for him. And so a quote from him again last night, when I'm in between those lines, anything can happen. It was one of those moments, playing so hard, working so hard, obviously given the circumstances, I think we really deserve that win. I just wanted to give us some energy and some momentum going into the last 2 or 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is I don't mean this as an insulting comparison. I mean it as a really nice one. it'll sound insulting because those teams were so bad, but it reminds me of, do you remember the game Jalen Rose stands on the announce table in the bad Jalen Rose years?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's going like this. He's doing the reverse angels
said, like,
in the
Dwayne
outfield.
Dwayne Wade did it. And like, you
but
know,
I'm
like
trying
Derek
to raptors
Rose.
It.
I know, but I just meant like if you want to make it like a good one, you could have said a good player. Sorry, Jalen Rose was actually a really good player.
Yeah.
Just the Raptors tenure.
Yeah, I'm just trying to raptorize it anyway. So it reminded me of that a little bit. And I think, yeah, that's, and honestly, it's not in Fred's personality to be over emotional, but give me as much of that as you want, Fred. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to be stoic if you don't want to be. And also, like,
Fred isn't stoic.
I know, but he's normally very much a never as high as your highs, mm-hmm. never as low as your lows guy.
And he's like usually quite professional at the podium and eloquent and well thought out. He doesn't just be like, it was on, like, I'm going to, get the crowd going, and
he doesn't talk like trash in the sense of he never.
No, he never says a ton of respect there for every other opponent.
Sure, but I would say that he is very like Fred is a dramatic player. Like, he's pretty dramatic.
Well, it's hard to be 5'11" and succeed and be an all-star caliber player in the NBA and not be.
Sure.
Like, your story is just dramatic.
I just think that the dude is tough as nails, and he never goes away. His defense is hilarious because every time you look at him, you're like, somebody's going to score on this dude. Like, someone, you just figure they're just going to shoot over the top of him. Even think about what's Drew Holiday? 6'5"? 6'4", 6'5"? He's a tall point guard. And the two of them are battling like that. And you can't even really, one of the biggest signs of respect that I have for a player is when you really don't know their size. And with Fred, you don't really notice it against Drew unless you're like they're standing next to each other and it's a dead ball situation, mm-hmm. right? When they're actually playing and Fred's in his chest like that, it's like anyone who's ever played basketball before, like just even a pickup recreational one time, think about how it feels when you're trying to stop someone that is bigger or when you're trying to score on someone that is big. Like, there's a big reason why height is a massive advantage in this sport. Mm-hmm. And he's giving up 6 inches, maybe 5 inches to Drew Holiday. And you don't notice it during the game at all. He does that little swipe move that you think is a foul every time because you go, wow, the refs didn't call that on Fred again. And then they show the highlight and he didn't foul.
No, he's like a mini Marc Gasol in those moments.
I love watching him play. And last night was the exact same thing. And I tweeted this, but I keep doing this like mental discussion for me of how many point guards I would rather have than Fred VanVleet if it's a must-win game. Not over the season, not in a draft. It's so weird. You tweet something like that and one of the replies is like, you would definitely take Cade over him if you were drafting him. I was like, yeah, but what, like, it literally says explicitly here, this is the way. So I'm going to explain it for those of you that don't know how to read or listen. Just a one-time big money game. I think the only point guards, because I'm going to count Luka as a point guard, right? I have to?
You can if you want.
I have to. He's a point guard.
These are your rules.
I mean, I know.
Jalen Brunson starts.
I know, but Luka's the point guard. So I would say if it's a must-win game, Chris Paul, Luka, Steph, Dame, and then Drew Holiday and Fred are like the who do you take five?
And weirdly,
yes, over Kyle. Right now, over Lowry today, as of this very moment, yes. Kyle Lowry in his prime is better than Fred VanVleet is right now, but no. The better player is of this moment is Fred VanVleet.
I only want to drop Dame in when the game's close late, though. Like, Dame is not. Anyway.
I put Dame there out of respect just because scoring is so important and he's one of the best at it. And
yellow tape.
I know, but it's just, can I be truthful? I'd take Fred over Dame in one must win game. That's the truth. That's just, I didn't want to get flamed and I want to sound like the biggest homer ever, but I really would. If they were doing it, I'd rather have Drew Holiday and I'd rather have Fred VanVleet than Dame in a must win game.
Two small Fred things before we get off Raptors. One is those swipe steals in the post like that.
God, I love them.
Because technically the player is going up for a shot, a lot of those get logged as blocks. So Fred VanVleet, who's listed at 6'1", but is probably closer to 5'11", has 51 blocks in his last 74 games. Like, he is...
What?
He's 51 blocks in his last 74 games.
Fred VanVleet. Who I'm as tall as.
Yes.
Wild.
Yes. It's and it was so last year it was like...
Who's counting those, though? Like Herbie?
No, like that's true.
I'm just kidding.
So like he's at 0.7 blocks per game over the last 2 years. And it's funny because last year he was basically openly complaining about it because he's like, that's keeping me from winning the steals title because you keep counting my strip steals as blocks. The other Fred thing, and I think this is part of why, and he's obviously never going to come out and just say this, but it's really important to Fred VanVleet. Like, he wants to be an all-star.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the numbers and the impact of an all-star so far this season. You know who doesn't get to be in the all-star game? Guys on 10 and 13 teams.
I know.
And I think there's definitely an element of, yo, we got to start winning if he's going to have that all-star push. And obviously, it's not all about him, but
yeah,
that's a, you know, it's a pretty good incentive for the guys around him, too. And I think, you know, as we get closer to that, those guys are going to want that for him.
It's going
to
be really hard because the Nets are going to send a guard. The Bulls are going to send two guards. The Wizards are going to send a guard. And that's just looking at the first, like, top three teams the standing. That's four guards on three teams at the very top.
Before getting to Drew.
That's what I'm saying.
If Kyle gets the veteran respect thing.
I don't think Lowry will. And, you know, can I be honest? I actually think Lowry is close enough to Fred that if he got the call and he knew Fred was below him on the button. Yeah, Kyle would be like, it's cool, man. I'm going to literally go golfing.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't think that Kyle is at the point in his career where that's the thing he needs.
The tough part would be, though, like,
Trae Young.
Would Kyle, like, Kyle can't be like, hey, Adam Silver, I'm
instead
out,
of me,
I'm
please
out
select.
If Fred's the
no, but
thing. But maybe he could also. He's Kyle Lowry.
No, but look at, if you just go through the, like, list of who the guards would be, I would say that as of right now, Ball is going to be in, right? So that's one.
Yeah.
Trae Young is always just going to be in, so that's two. Then there's going to be the four guards that I mentioned off the top, that's six. And then there's going to be discussions between, like, Drew Holiday and Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry. Those are the three guys. It's funny. I brought this up at the beginning of the year when we did Raptors props, but I thought that it was actually going to potentially come down to Lowry, DeRozan, and Fred. And DeRozan has locked himself into DeRozan might start the play, like, the All-Star game. Yeah. Like, that's what the kind of season he's
the
having.
The one thing that helps with DeMar, the DeMar thing is, like, DeMar's not a guard anymore.
What, like, you don't think they're going to count him as a guard?
No, because they start Lonzo and Zach LaVine. And, like, functionally, DeMar is their power forward.
Okay. I mean, okay, fine. I will always see DeMar as a two, and I know that's
I know,
not who he is on,
like,
the team, but it's just like someone voting in and starting at power forward, DeMar DeRozan.
Well, the ballot,
like, come
the ballot's,
on.
The ballot's two guards, two forwards, and a center, and then with the bench picks, the coaches can kind
of,
you can
just get rid
put
of
guys
the center.
Where you want. I know.
Just get rid of the center. It's I like it, and I'm a traditionalist, so it's like I like seeing the center, especially even all NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, it's like, how many do we got? I guess it's like the Jokic spot, spot.
All I want is a Fred VanVleet All-Star jersey. So
That's all you want?
Well, it's on the
list. Are
you
listening, brother?
Jordan, wake up.
Don't text her asking if she wants a Fred VanVleet jersey. I need to do one more Raptors thing before we take a break we don't have to be long on it. And I'll do it a little bit more expansive later.
That the ref sucked?
Well, I'd like that, but I actually also, I thought Giannis was going to play, so I did bet on the Bucks. And so when Pat Connaughton shot that shot, I might have been like, please go in. Just maybe. But the defense, I couldn't tell last night if the defense was good or if the Bucks didn't give a crap until the fourth quarter. Because nobody on that Bucks team looked good other than Drew Holiday for the entirety of that game. Like, their whole team was terrible. There wasn't one player, even Chris Middleton, until the fourth or late in the third, was like, yeah, I'm not here for this game. He was, like, dribbling the ball off his foot. Like, I actually thought for a second that he might not even play the second half. He was so disengaged in the first. So the Raptors' defense ends up with, like, a good statistical night.
Mm-hmm.
Blake, coming into this thing, you said, I asked you what you were looking for. You said Scottie Barnes' defense on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
And Middleton.
But yes, Giannis didn't play. But also, he played a lot of defense on Drew. He was just defending, like, the ball handler, like whoever was coming
Bobby
up with
Portis
the
Portis a little bit, and that's where some of the foul trouble came in. But
he was very aggressive. Yes, he gets the five fouls. So I don't know how that plays into it, but this is kind of a two-parter. And you don't have to answer it all right now because we will do Raptors later. We have a Blake Murphy mailbag. So if you have a tweet or a text for Blake that is Raptors related today or NBA related, text 590-590 or just tweet at Blake Murphy ODC.
Yeah, I put out a call for them. If you could reply to that tweet, I'll retweet it right now. It's just easier to keep track
sure.
of them that way.
So is the defense getting better, or were the Bucks just, you know, a little bit too much Pat Connaughton and some guy I'd never heard of before that played center for them, like
Sandro.
A lot of Sandro. A little too much Sandro.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that were on the court that was like, who is this man? Yeah.
Like, I'm watching on TV and I see Sandro and he's this, like, short-haired, bearded guy with tattoo sleeves. And I'm like, wait a second. But doing the Leo meme of
what's amazing is that every year the NBA always has a guy like that, like a white center from overseas who has a bunch of tattoos and is like looks really tough. Mm. And they go, this guy's had a really accomplished record overseas and you've never heard of him. And this is why he stinks.
Yeah. I mean, Sandro came from NCAA, but I think the defense was certainly better last night. It's kind of two games in a row where you've taken a step in the right direction. And here's where I think you can be confident in the defensive performance. And again, we're going to get to this more in the mailbag, but the Bucks didn't look particularly great, but they also shot to their season average on threes. They were 36% on threes. They got to the free throw line a lot and they had 16 offensive rebounds, and you still held them to an offensive rating of under 103, which is, you know, that's a pretty good night defensively. Yeah. And yeah, the Bucks didn't have Giannis, but they still have Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. Like, they're still starting two all-stars and have done fairly well.
1.5. Middleton wasn't an all-star the first half. I'm sorry. I won't give him that.
Sure. But yeah, you like they did some things. They didn't get three-point luck. They didn't take care of the glass that well. And they sent him to the free throw line a fair amount, and they still had a strong defensive performance. So I think, yeah, you play that game out a couple times, the Bucks are going to hit more shots at the rim. But for the most part, that was a pretty strong defensive showing.
So obviously somebody was screaming bing bong last night, doing live streams, gave us her food order, didn't reference her drink order. We're going to see what she has for the A-list.
Well, I got some good stuff today.
You got you said it with the least amount of enthusiasm, though.
I don't know what it is about Thursdays, but it's a jam-packed Friday morning A-list. I have to start cutting things.
Okay.
We better hurry up. Don't
Pressure's
take a break.
On.
I have 15 things for the A-list.
That's next. Fan Morning Show. Blake Murphy, A-list 4-4, JD Bunkus, Sportsnet 5-9 of the Fan.
Welcome back to the Fan Morning Show. It's JD Bunkus's Oxcord, not his A-list. You got excited.
I get to
there.
Do the A-list?
Nope, no. It's your Oxcord.
All right,
today.
Now it's time for the J-list.
No. It doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
Oh, I thought that was amazing.
J-list. Every segment is the J-list.
That's good. Yeah, and get some good music this morning.
Here's how I pick my songs. What I was listening to.
You just screenshot recently played.
Pretty much. And then, what I'll do is out of the recently played songs is I like to try to pick out the ones that hit hard out of the gate.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Oxcord is it's got to be something that's good for like the first 15 seconds, which sometimes is hard because there's a lot of slow build songs.
For sure. I wanted to play some Young Dolph today because he just passed away and I've been listening to him recently and I couldn't get anything in because his beats aren't like that. Mm. They're not punch you in the face, wake up, good morning beats. And I had to cut it. It got left on the cutting room floor. I need that energy out of the gate. That's always going to be JD's Oxford. All right?
Okay. It's time for
should
my moment.
Should I pick more of Daniele's?
Yeah. Da, da, da. I don't think we'll ever top Daniele's. Da, da, da,
da. We'll see. Yeah, maybe he's got something to say for next week.
If you don't have more, and you see my hand right now? I'm like fully like in the... Yeah. I'm in the club here. I'm ready for those songs. Anyways, I'm stepping on the best part of the show.
Now it's time for
Let Us A.
A.
The A list.
A. Today's a very special day in the world, the universe, our galaxy, anything that goes by our calendar. Do you know why?
Why is that?
Today is both a palindrome and an ambigram.
I don't know what the second one is, so I guess it doesn't really matter to me.
Which means today's date,
12/3/2021,
can be read backwards. This was yesterday. Oops.
Oh, I was going to say
today's backwards
the third.
And forwards, as well as upside down. That was yesterday. Oops, I got the days wrong. I clicked on this last night. That's the problem. And I forgot that this morning I'd read it. No. Shoot.
I was like,
I was so excited. I got to unretweet that crap.
No, the best part about this.
Oh, I just figured it out.
So during the break.
Oh, no.
I go to Ailish. I'm like, hey.
Oh, I'm devastated now.
Sorry we went a little long. I just figured since you were at the game, you might be a little hungover and you didn't have a long A-list. And she's like, no, actually, the A-list is packed.
I got so many things
in the A-list.
And that one doesn't even count. Yeah. Oh.
You could have said it counts. It was just yesterday.
Just pretend that it's yesterday.
Yeah, just pretend. Everybody, okay. No, actually, I don't want to do that because it's Friday. You know, like it's the only day of the week where you can't ask this of me
delete that one from your brains. Okay, it's time for the A-list.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now it's time for Let Us A.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
God.
Take one.
It's the beauty of live radio.
Yeah.
We make mistakes. Speaking of mistakes, this is something that I'd like your opinion on.
Okay.
Okay. Arkansas Pine Bluff, which is a school name, lost to Iowa State in a basketball game the other day. The score was 83-64. Not as bad as last night's NBA results. But this team, the Arkansas Pine Bluff team, during the game, the coach calls a timeout and makes his players run on the court. Because they had gotten outscored in that quarter, which I think is just extremely embarrassing and an awful in-game strategy. And they are currently 1-8 on the season. So is the coach also running laps? It's just a lot of
oof. That's a tough part of
oof,
the equation.
A lot of eight, oof happening.
Yeah.
So they literally stop the game and the players start running. We used to call them suicides, like end-to-end, whatever.
We all did.
Trying to change the culture of the team, yet embarrassing them and also tiring them out. So what are your takes on this?
Yeah, tell you where I'd run if a coach tried to pull that to another team or another sport.
Yeah. And this is also
the other team you'd be on is banned. They call it banned, sir.
It's also the opponent's arena, which is even more embarrassing. Like, I think doing this on your home court, maybe there's a little bit like the fans are like, okay, we get it. But like you're already in the opponent's
Tell you what else I would do. If I was the referee in that game, double technical. That coach is gone.
Really? Yeah,
that's also true. Like the refs are probably like, what are you doing?
Yeah, if a coach stops a basketball game to make his team run laps.
So you guys both hate it.
I hate it.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly stupid. I think Ben Affleck at his absolute worst in the way back would never even think of something like that.
I love it.
Yeah, of course.
Oh my God. It's so awesome. Are you kidding me? Everything now with kids is like, okay, we got to have a meeting about it. Okay. Oh my God. The coach said to Trevor that he's not giving 100. He said he's giving 100%.
Trevor.
And I think Trevor's giving 110%. And I think we should have a meeting about this coach.
Well, I didn't say they should get a participation trophy. You shouldn't gas your players out in the middle of a game.
Your team is done, and this is creative. This is a creative way. Listen, in sports, when high school sports are not about making the pros, they're not even about winning the games. It's not about that. It's about lessons. Like, we have a basketball coach behind the glass. Like, Daniele coaches, like, what is it, 4A? What, 4A men's basketball? I'm asking him a question. I can't tell if he's...
Oh.
But he's didn't turn his mic on.
Well, I'm here now.
Yeah.
No, so we're high school triple. We were
triple A. Okay,
the
so
highest
you're,
level
you're triple A. Are you trying to get guys to the NBA in high school basketball?
No. That's the furthest thing from what you're thinking.
Exactly.
About.
What you're trying to do is you're trying to teach life lessons. You're trying to get people to buy into something, commit to something, and be in good shape, and also like be together in a group. And those guys, if they slacked off and this coach is like, man, we're 1-8... You guys are doing this thing again, and he thinks maybe they're a more talented team than they are. Like, this coach probably isn't doing that if this team sucks and they shouldn't have been around in that basketball game. They're probably there. He's probably thinking, this is when we win our schedule. Makes them run laps. He does a statement. If he's doing it because it's about the coach, like, I need to know the situation. I need to know the guy.
That is my instinct, that it's grandstanding on him, and it's poor emotional regulation on his
part. I think
it's
awful.
I just think, hey, those kids running some lines, having that
in
be
the
like,
middle of a game.
So what? I like
you're actively saying we're playing poorly, and I'm going to execute a strategy that will make us play worse.
Yeah,
to make
we're already
a point.
Done. Yeah, we're already done. Wait, dude, you already say to your team we're going to play worse when you're getting blown out and you put in the bench. Like, hey, I'm going to put in our bad players now who never play. We're doing this because it's a blowout. I don't know. I just think that...
See, like, I think that's more embarrassing than getting made to run in front of like the other team's fans.
Personal experience, if I was playing for a team that had a bad game in college, which just happened...
That's college. That's a high, that's a like different story.
Yeah, but this is college.
This was college?
Yeah.
Mm,
what did you think it was?
I thought it was high school.
No, no, it's college. Arkansas Pine Bluff, baby.
Mm.
It's college.
I like it less now.
Yeah, it's college. These are grown, almost grown men.
Yeah, I thought it was high school.
And no, no, college.
It's a pretty bush league move for a college coach.
Exactly. And you can, what you can do is, and I've done, I've seen this done before. Yeah. The game ends and you keep your players out after the game and you make them run or you make them skate or whatever.
I thought it was high school.
No. Yeah, it's college.
And the fact that it's a road game too is so hilarious. Like imagine being there as a fan of your school and you're just trying to, you're just trying to root your team on and your team's blowing out another team and then you're
running
to sit
laps
there and watch.
So
like it would be funny kind
so you
of
you like it less then.
Big time. You got the day wrong, I got the league wrong.
We're having the level wrong.
What's next on the A list? I gotta get something wrong.
Blake's gotta get something wrong.
This is actually another college take, but it's college football. So Brian Kelly,
thank you for setting it up by telling us
college football.
Okay. Got it.
Brian Kelly, who you should know, the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. So he shockingly left for LSU earlier this week, sent shockwaves throughout college football.
So shocking it sent shockwaves.
Interesting enough, and an important note, he's from Boston, or he's from Everett, Massachusetts. So just outside Boston. So somebody online found a video of him doing a welcome speech when he was at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And then they clipped the welcome speech to his newest welcome speech at LSU. Let's just listen to it and see if you can notice anything different, okay?
Those incredible 12 years of my life for me and my family being here at Notre Dame.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family. And we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana.
Play it again.
Do one more time, yeah.
Those incredible 12 years of my life for me and my family being here at Notre Dame.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
That's all I need to hear.
I'm here with my family.
With my family.
Yeah, we're talking about the fake accent, right?
Yeah, okay. What is going on here?
Okay, so I'm going to defend him.
No.
Of course you are.
No, here's why. Here's why. The first one is a somber, like...
Well, we have more.
No, okay, so I want to hear more then, but hold on. This if it's just these two clips, well, the first one I hear... Oh, you don't have more?
I was just kidding.
Yeah.
It was a threat. Like, I don't have more.
So the first clip, he's talking to a room full of players that he recruited to play at that school. Can you imagine? You're all there at Notre Dame. It's a high-level program. You're all thinking, like, we can win a national championship. Like, that's what you go to Notre Dame for. And all of a sudden, one of the best college coaches is telling you, hey, it's not about you guys, but it is, because if you guys were better, then I would definitely be staying here because I want to win national championships too. So I'm going to a place where it's better. I'm going to the SEC. I'm going to where it matters. He's leaving for LSU. He's somber. That clip there, I don't know. Maybe he's at a drink. He's been around Louisiana people all day long, right? Hey, coach. Like, I don't even do the accent. But if you heard people doing it like, coach, we love you, coach. Coach, coach, coach. And then he's had his two drinks and he gets up there and everyone, it's a whole day about him.
Now,
the whole day is just about this guy. And he gets up there and he's like, I'm excited.
No.
I'm just saying I can
see how it
happens.
You know what
it
reminded me of?
What? Yeah. Yes. Well, that's what I'm saying. I kind of... Listen, is it kind of cringy? 100%.
I'm here with my family.
Family.
Yes, keep that as a drop, by
I
the
love
way.
It. It's awful, guys. It's like he just, and the fact that he got caught on Twitter and everyone is blowing it up.
God.
I mean, I like that he's trying to play to the new crowd and he's new at LSU, but it's just funny that he says the same word and it is just extremely different. He's a Boston guy. He used to live outside Boston. Nobody speaks like that.
Yeah, this is like Alec Baldwin's wife.
Yeah, he's
right?
Exactly. What's her name? Something or other.
But Mrs. Baldwin.
Mrs. Baldwin. She just got some like fake accent that she throws on there.
I was born and raised in Spain, and then they're like, you went there on one trip. That was the story. You went there on vacation a couple of times. You're also from Boston. What? It's just people want to be from a different place. Like, that's just a thing. is like nobody's really actually happy with where they're from. Everywhere else is sexier than from where you are. And so you get caught up in the moment. And I just saying, this guy all day long, it was, you got to come try our gumbo and you got to come down here. And he's like, yeah. And he had two drinks and he went up.
I don't think there's any drinks involved, but
I had family.
I've saw
like there was one drink, one little sip.
Maybe. I saw a funny tweet. Did you guys see Knives Out?
Yeah, of course.
This is the most outrageous attempt at a Southern accent since Daniel Craig and Knives Out.
That's a good tweet.
It reminded me of Andy Bernard when he's doing the molasses.
You got to roll off your tongue like molasses.
There's been a murder.
been a murder in Savannah.
That really was a murder
was
in Savannah situation. You know what sucks, though? He knew it. Obviously, he knew it. At the second it came out of his mouth, he just had to commit to the bit.
And now he's going to speak like that for the rest of his career.
Oh, I hope so.
No choice.
That's it. He's got like Alec Baldwin's wife where she commits to the bit. She's like, I was in España for more than just a vacation. Sometimes, because that was how she got busted, right? She was on a show and they were like, she was like, what is this? How you say? And they were like, what do you mean how you say? You're from Boston. It was like broom or knife. And she pulled that move. So that's what I want him to start doing is just like completely adopt the local dialect and roll with it. I stand with you, Brian Kelly. I stand with you as a guy
who I'm here with you.
You're part of his family.
You're part of my family, buddy.
Speaking of family, we got Charles Davis after the break. We also got I think part two of the A-list.
Yeah, you know what? I sprinkled a couple in throughout the show because we ran out of time, so stay tuned.
All right, this is a shorter
one.
Right.
So this is a red hot A-list.
Well, double,
that was pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
Except for the palindrome.
Yeah, except for the wrong date and the wrong level of school.
And the wrong accent.
But on that, we had a text in from somebody who said, Allison is clearly on an all-night bender after that big Raps win. Someone give her a Caesar to get through the show. Don't worry, still the best. And then Jordan and Saga text back, oh my God, they spoke corrected A-list to Allison. Sorry. So we're all having a bad day.
See?
And I said, who's on the bender now?
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
text it back.
People in glass houses, Jordan.
You know what Jordan owes us now? Hey, 9:05 a.m., round of Caesars here. Now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yum, yum, yum.
Because Allison's not the only one who had a couple beers last night.
Gotta say, not a lot of people sent food this week. Yeah. Only one person.
I'm starving.
Thanks a lot for that.
We're going to talk to Charles Davis after the break. He's got Chargers Bengals this Sunday, and we got a Thursday nighter to talk about. And then A-List Part 2 at 7:30. All that's next.